Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Drew Hill covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He was inside FedEx Forum last night for a 109-97 victory over the Magic. Make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show, Big Interview, on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Drew Hill in studio. To what do I owe this pleasure?
On the way to somewhere.
You're just on the way to somewhere.
Stopping in. I live right around the corner, so literally 2-minute drive for me here to get to studio. Very easy.
I think I live further from the studio than anybody else who comes to this studio. Do you think that's a fact?
Yeah.
I'm a good 28 minutes.
Yes. No, that's right. I mean, Chris Michaels lives in Arlington. You're further than Arlington, right?
I feel like I probably am.
Yeah, I think you're the furthest. Yeah.
It's fine. That's good me time. I get in the car every day.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good me time.
Listen to Ion College Basketball Podcast.
I do not listen
to
the Ion College Basketball Podcast. I really don't even listen to sports podcasts. Like I
you do true crime or what are you doing? News?
There's news mostly. Like I like the New York Times does a podcast called The Daily.
Okay.
Where they take these big things that are happening in the world and they bring in like their beat writer who bringing in you.
Right.
So they go, okay, there's a war in Ukraine and here's so and so who covers Ukraine for us, and they just talk about it and I've talked to smarter people than I about this podcast, and they're like, yeah, but like if you know about it, then they're not telling you anything you don't already know. And I'm like, well, I don't know anything. So I like to be aware of what's happening in the world, and I find that's a good like 25 to 35 minute podcast to say, okay, what's going on with the Supreme Court? Here, we're bringing in a Supreme Court beat writer. What's going on with literally just big topics in the world?
So you know a lot more than me because I don't know crap about what's going on.
I know just enough to fake it in a casual conversation.
That's good.
Then if I'm ever going to talk about it more in detail than that, well, then I just study. You know, like that's whether it's a Supreme Court ruling or Deebo Samuel's contract. If I'm going to talk about whatever I'm going to talk about, I just immerse myself in it. It's like fun when I do this Time to Shine show. I get the rundown, and it's like, oh well, I literally know nothing about this topic in the A block. And then it's just reading, and then you educate yourself, then you just talk about it. So I listen to podcasts that help. Maybe that's I've never really thought about this, but I listen to podcasts that I think I'm going to learn something from. I don't want to just hear people talking. I want somebody, yeah, who can entertain me, but more than that, who can tell me something I wouldn't otherwise know. Make me smarter.
Yeah. So what you're saying is essentially anybody could host this radio show. They just got to read the Daily Memphian.
Yes, you just got to read the Daily Memphian.
Look
at some box scores, and you can get through 2 hours, no problem.
Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is I don't find enjoyment listening to people talk about things that I already know about.
Of course, yeah.
I don't listen to any college basketball podcast, like none of them. Those guys who do the other ones are my friends. I don't listen to them.
I don't really listen to NBA podcasts, so I get you there. Sometimes I will listen to segments of me and Chris's podcast just to go back and be like, all right, did I sound really stupid?
No, that's helpful. I do that sometimes, and I do that sometimes with the radio show as well. Like I'll plan this open, I'll do it, and I'll go, okay, what did that sound like? And like sometimes on the drive home, I will listen to that opening segment back. Not rooted in narcissism where I just want to hear myself talk, but because I want to actually hear what it sounded like. Did it sound the way I thought it sounded? Did I do what I intended to do? I actually think that's very helpful. Like people, anybody trying to get into this business, I would encourage you, go back and listen to yourself. Sometimes people, like, it's not my job to critique other people. I just stay in my own lane. I talk from 4 to 6. But sometimes I think, I hear people on the radio and I go, do they know they do that? Do they hear that? And if they ever went back and listened, they might hear these things that I think could make them better. But I'm not even sure some people are even aware of what they're doing or how they sound.
I'm sure my first guest host here just is terrible. I'm sure it is. But
we'll pull the tape.
You just get better as you go along.
Well, that's the thing.
That's all, you know, you regroup, you come back the next day, you try to be 1% better, you take your vitamins, as Taylor Jenkins says.
Well, I think anybody's first day is going to be rough. Just because you're uncomfortable. I don't remember my first day doing this show, but I remember not feeling good about it.
I can't imagine doing TV. I can't believe you do TV. Like, to me, that would be way more nerve-wracking than talking in front of a mic with nobody else in the room.
It's not. I mean, it is at first, but then you just get used to it. When I first started doing TV, I didn't like the way I was being utilized only because of this way. They would bring me in like once a month. And they bring me in once a month for 2 nights. So it'd be like, all right, you're coming in Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. And you go in and it takes you, because you haven't been there in a month, it takes you a night just to get comfortable. And then you're comfortable the next night, and then you're not back for a month. And it's like, I never really get into a routine of working with these same people. And, because doing a radio show by yourself is like, I'm with myself every day. But suddenly you're on a desk with 3 other people. And there's some camaraderie, that chemistry there that's got to get comfortable. And I just wasn't, I imagine it must be like being a pinch hitter on a baseball team. Like you're getting in a bat every 6 days, but how helpful is that? How comfortable do you get? But now I'm just so used to it. I'm there all the time and I'm in studio all the time and you just get used to it. It's a different dynamic because there's a visual aspect of it. Like when I'm talking on radio, I can be looking at my screen and actually like reading notes and reminding myself of what it is I wanted to say by looking at notes I've created. On TV, there's some of that because you'll be covered by graphics and video at some points. But at some point, it's just you and a camera, and you're talking to a camera, and you got to get used to that. But you trust me, you would get used to it the same way you've gotten used to this.
I guess. To me, it's just different when it's in front of a crowd that is watching you, because I can do whatever I want here in the radio station. Like right now I'm holding a pen that I'm just fidgeting with.
Sure.
And I'm like a pacer. When I write stories at home, I will get up, I will walk around my living room. I drive my girlfriend absolutely insane. I'll walk around the living room. I'll do like 4 or 5 laps and then I'll come back to the laptop, sit down and write again. Like in order to get my brain to work, I have to be moving in some way. And so to try to sit still in front of a camera and talk on TV, I just don't know.
Yeah, you have to forget the cameras are there. And that's an easy thing to tell people. Like I can't tell how many times I'd bring people into studio and you could talk to them at a kitchen table all night long. But you put the microphone in front of them, they freeze up, they get different. There's something about that camera's on me, this mic is on me, that freaks some people out until they get comfortable. That's why I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who's in college, and he's in sports journalism, and he wants to write and do radio and tell, he wants to do everything, host podcast, the whole deal. And he was sort of expressing frustration about this podcast he's doing. And it's like, how do we grow it? How do we get, and I was like, you're probably not going to, you're in college. Like, why, I say this respectfully, why would anybody listen to your podcast? You're 20 years old. There's a million podcasts out there. Why would somebody other than your friends and mom listen to your podcast? I said, but that's not what you should worry about at all. Like, I wouldn't even look at the numbers if I were you. You just need to get used to talking, to doing a podcast. Forget about who's listening to it. Get used to doing it so that perhaps someday you'll be employed by somebody that has a big podcast,
outreach.
Yes. And then you'll have a built-in audience that's brought to you. And by then you'll be comfortable doing what you're doing. But in the meantime, dude, I would tell you, even if you're not publishing a podcast, do one. Keep it for yourself. But just get used to doing it, because that's the only way you'll ever get better.
Yeah, it takes reps for sure.
Reps.
It takes reps. I feel like I'm much better at doing this than the first time I ever talked on the radio. I think the first time I covered some teams before I moved here, but that the first time I did a true radio hit, I had done podcasts and stuff, was here on 92.9.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just started as a guest. I was a Memphis beat writer going on people's shows and talking, and then one thing leads to another. Next thing you know, here we are. But I didn't intend to do any of this. Like when I was in college, I never took a radio class, never took a television class. I was just going to be a newspaper guy.
Oh, dude, I was pre-med. I thought I was going to be a doctor. Then I found out I'm way too dumb to try to do that. Like, that didn't last very long.
Yeah.
Drew, you're going to talk about sports. Yeah. You're not going to – you don't need to be operating on anyone.
Yeah, like, it just – yeah, being a – like, the time you have to put into that, I didn't have the time for
no.
it. I mean, in fairness, I probably didn't have the brain for it either, but I certainly didn't have the time for it. So you say – you have gotten better with reps, and I agree, although I never remember you being bad, but certainly I think anybody would get better with reps. This is my transition to the Memphis Grizzlies.
This is a good one. I know where you're going here.
Do you think Santi Aldama is getting better with reps?
Yes. Listen, I planted this Santi Aldama flag earlier this summer. If you listen to the...
Bennett was bragging on you in the opening segment.
I'm telling you, I had heard from people that would know that he had a really good summer, and there was a lot of confidence going in there, and I think before they had to say it on media day, if you just watch Summer League and the way that they used him there, there was a lot of confidence in him and a lot of people that believed that he could be their starting power forward on night one if Jaren Jackson Jr. is not available, and nobody thinks that he will be. To me, when you hear those sorts of things, sometimes it's just empty hype. But in this case, it made sense given the way that he played in Summer League. And then you've seen it now in the first two preseason games, is this guy has really developed. He was thrown into a terrible situation in his first Summer League. Came over from Spain, had played in the Patriot League before that, which is not a college basketball league that has a whole lot of talent. It was a huge culture shock, but they believed that this guy was extremely talented, that he actually can shoot the ball, which is important. His size is for real. He's a lot taller in person, I think, than he looks on TV. And he just has the physical tools to get in there. He's also just and because of that, he's the guy that makes the most sense to replace Jaren. Jake LaRavia, not close to 7 feet tall. David Roddy, not close to 7 feet tall. And the jury's still out whether or not they can shoot as good as Santi. I mean, Jake's shot looks great, and Roddy shot the ball well in college, but Santi's out there in the preseason knocking him down. So he's the guy that has always made the most sense to me to fill in for this role. And you've seen this very good summer, which I actually ended up talking to him yesterday in the locker room about a game you play a lot, golf.
Mm.
Santi Aldama took up golf. You know, this is kind of inside baseball, but they reopened the locker rooms this year, and we got the chance to go in there before the game. And I'm talking to him about basketball type stuff. And at the end, I said, you know, what was the best thing you did this summer outside of basketball? And he said, golf. I bought a pair of golf clubs for the first time. And I was like, you, golf clubs, really? And he was like, yeah, they're all the clubs have to be 2 inches longer because I'm so tall. And I still haven't even broke 100 yet. And I had my first birdie ever. You said he played Wedgewood. He had his first birdie ever.
He was on Wedgewood?
Down in your neck of the woods. And he's like, you know, it's a humbling game because I've spent the whole summer trying to hype myself up and tell myself I'm ready for this leap for the Grizzlies, whatever, and then he goes out in the golf course, and he's like, it keeps me grounded because,
there is no sport more humbling. I'm not exaggerating. Every time I play, I think I'm about to play the best round of my life, and I never do.
I don't think that ever. I'm like, oh, man.
No, I always feel good. I feel good. I'm like, okay, I feel pretty good. I feel like I'm getting better, and it's just the same stuff.
Maybe you could give Santi a few lessons there.
If he's going to take lessons, he doesn't need to take them from me. I can get him somebody, but he doesn't need them. He didn't need them from me. But that's funny to hear that he's down at Wedgewood. Like, it must be a wild scene. You're just down at Wedgewood with your boys. That's what Wedgewood is. It's just, you know.
Vince Williams Jr. and David Roddy said at Summer League that they were going to take up golf, but I never found out if they actually did that. And then it's just funny that I asked that to Santi, and he brought that up. He's like, yeah, I started playing golf. I'm getting into golf. It's my way of, like, trying to clear my mind. It's my way to escape basketball. I get out there. I get humbled.
Yeah.
And then, I come back to basketball. I feel pretty good about how good I am at basketball.
It's a great escape. And obviously this time of the year, the weather is just fun. It's just nice being outside. I don't know that any of the current Grizzlies are members out at TPC Southwind, but used to, you would see Mike Conley out there and Vince Carter out there. There's a lot of people who work for the Grizzlies who are members out there, but you used to see some players. I think Mike and Vince are still technically members. It's just for them, it's just your Netflix subscription that you never cancel. Yeah. It's just whatever, just keep taking whatever you take out per month. But maybe one day we'll see Santi Aldama out there as well. So are you a believer that this is a guy that shot 12.5% from three as a rookie? He shot above 40%, as you noted in this morning's story, in summer league from three, and he's now above 55% through two preseason games. Is this a guy who just, like you said, adjustment was difficult, didn't make shots as a rookie, but at his core is going to be able to be a floor spacer at that position by making perimeter shots?
Yes, I do. Maybe this is just me still being headstrong on my Santi takes from, over the past few weeks, but I don't know if it's that good.
Because
it's probably in between those two numbers said.
Of course. I would say it might not even be between those two numbers. It might be high 30s instead of somewhere between 40 and 55, but high 30s is totally respectable. You'll take
that's better than Jaren.
And one point on your Santi takes that I think is important, it'd be one thing if you just were evaluating and I think he's going to be good. The idea that you base your opinion in some part on, this is what a lot of people I respect are saying. It's a different level, obviously, but it's not unlike the narrative heading into last season was, wait till you get a load of Ja Morant. This is going to be something different. You're about to see. And it was. And Santi Aldama is not about to go be all NBA. But I think it's important to note there are people in the franchise you respect and have relationships with who have been telling you for a while, this guy's had a really great summer. He's ready to be meaningful for us. And through two preseason games, it looks like that evaluation is correct.
Yeah, and it's not exactly like you said. I'm not here saying Santi's going to be some all-star. I believe that Santi Aldama has a very good chance of not only starting the regular season for the Grizzlies, but replacing Kyle Anderson in the rotation and being a 10-man rotation guy for the Grizzlies the entire season long. And that's definitely not a for sure at this point, because they do have rookies and they do like to play their rookies, and those guys could get a lot better and push Santi and challenge here. But the way that, the confidence that you could hear, behind the scenes, and then the confidence that you could hear on media day from his teammates, it didn't mean nothing. That they actually believe that. Dylan Brooks is not a guy that lies.
Right.
Dylan Brooks will tell you how he actually feels.
Right.
So when Dylan Brooks unprompted says, y'all are going to be pretty surprised at how good Santi is this year, I think that means something.
No, that's important, because it's not like you go in there wanting to ask Dylan Brooks about Santi Aldama. This is something that just comes up. And they wouldn't crap on a guy who they don't think had a great summer, but when people go out of their way to say, hey, you're going to really be surprised by this guy, he's having a breakthrough, that is something to take note of. And through two preseason games, very much looks the part. Ja Morant, go ahead.
And Dylan isn't above crapping on people, by the way.
Right.
I remember going into one of the first post-game pressers of the season last year, and Dylan was just straight up like, Steven's got to move his freaking feet better. Steven's slow. He looks slow out there. It's like, all right, well, Dylan, tell him how you really feel.
Well, then it's even more meaningful that he went out of his way to compliment Santi Aldama. And through two preseason games, it's showing up. Ja Morant still was the star last night. Did all the things that you would hope Ja Morant could show you in a first preseason game. Got into the lane consistently, finished at the rim, made reads, found shooters, drew fouls. He was fast, explosive, exceptional. Did he look like the Ja Morant you last remember seeing healthy, or even a faster, bigger, stronger version of it?
He looks like the Ja Morant that I remember, because that Ja Morant's pretty dang good. Mm-hmm. I do think he worked on his body this offseason. I know he did, because I've talked to the people that he trains with. But, I think that his goal this year is to stay healthy. He's worked on the jumping and the landing and all that sort of stuff, but I think even more meaningful to that conversation is just how he shoots the ball. because if he shoots the ball well from three, he doesn't have to go take that punishment. What I liked last night was that when he made that three in the first quarter, on his first attempt, I think, he was 1 for 2 on the night. But when he made that first three, the rest of the game, the Magic respected him from out there. They were trying to close out, and he got way more open driving lanes than he would have had, you know, had he not been able to knock down the outside shots. To me, that was just as meaningful as, you know, Ja Morant can still jump high and dunk. Like, yeah. I mean, that we kind of expected, but the three-point shot, to me, the way he was able to utilize that and be able to give a shot fake, get in the lane, make a read, that stuff is the stuff that's really encouraging.
So you noted in your story that he prioritized shooting this summer. As you watch it last night, is it just he got up a bunch of shots and hopefully he'll make a higher percentage, but the shot more or less looks the same, or is there anything you notice different about the shot?
I'll be honest here. I can't say specifically what tweaks that they have made to the shot. The only thing that I have noticed is that it does seem a little bit quicker than in years past, and I think that's a plus. He's got the right guy to work on the shot with, Blake Ahern, who was an all-time great college shooter at Missouri State, and is the NCAA record holder for free throw percentage. Like, he's got the guy out there in Austin, Texas, working with him to get that shot right. I don't know what the specific tweaks were, whether it was his elbow or whatever. I don't know the answers to those sorts of things, but the shot looks good. It looks better, and you know, I think that's the most important thing for Ja this season.
What's interesting is he does have sort of a slow shot from the perimeter, but he can get away with that because people aren't going to close hard on him because that's suicide. Like, he'll just go right by you. So he doesn't necessarily, I mean, I don't want to say he doesn't need to get quicker with it. Sure, it's better to be quicker than not. But, you know, it can be beneficial if you get that shot off a little quicker. But the most important thing, I didn't need to see it be quicker as much as I just need to see it go in more. That's right. It. You know, can you take them and make them at a high enough percentage? You don't have to shoot 45% or even 40 from three. But can you take them and make them at a high enough percentage to make people feel like they have to guard you? Because the more you can bring them out, the more space that is for you and everybody else. Again, that's just obvious basketball stuff. But, you know, broadly speaking, a nice performance for Ja Morant last night. Started, played 22 minutes, 22 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, and 3 steals. Last thing before I let you go, and I'm talking to Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. You also got your first look at Paolo Banchero last night. He was the number one pick 2022 NBA draft. Struggled, as you might expect, playing a contender, real starters in game one. What did you make of Paolo's performance?
I thought it was a pretty typical performance for a guy that's a first-round draft pick and a high lottery pick.
He's a one-and-done guy, too. He's only like 19 years old.
One-and-done, number one overall pick. I mean, obviously you're expecting big things from him, but that was the Orlando Magic's first preseason game. Like, this is just the very tip of the beginning here. And I think, you know, he'll look better as the preseason goes along. But, I mean, Santi got the better of him last night. He really did. Santi got the better of Paolo last night. And so I don't worry about Paolo Banchero long term. But I do think it was a little bit rough for him.
Yeah, it was a rough night, but I think he'll have I think he'll be Rookie of the Year, and I think he'll have a great career. He's a special talent, but when you are being thrown out there for the first time and you look up and it's like, okay, these are guys who competed for the Western Conference title. I'm not playing Clemson tonight. I'm playing Ja Morant and Desmond Bane and
Brandon Clark.
Right.
Brandon Clark got the better of him, too.
So that can be a little difficult. But so not a great first preseason game, but I'd still be shocked if he didn't have a really good a rookie season and NBA career in general. That's Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. If you haven't read his story from last night, filed inside FedEx 4, you can find it at dailymemphian.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.